Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. And we're going through Judges, of course, taking occasion. It being the 15th day of April on the Pope's calendar. That is the calendar that the world follows. I got a friend, Troy Miller. He says that whoever's in charge is in charge of the calendar. It's a telling tale, isn't it? Okay, we're in Judges chapter 6, and we are talking about the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, regardless, even though, with a wonderful history, the short history of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt, entering the land, and forgetting all about their heritage, they turn to idolatry, and the Heavenly Father constantly allows them to fall into slavery. Where has America's freedom gone? You know, where? We have forgotten our beginnings. People, if you talk about liberty today, they think you're crazy. If you talk about a right to travel even, they think you're nuts. Of course, you have to go down and get a slave number so that you can get a driver's license, and then you can pay the protection racket, the legalized protection racket, so that you can travel in an automobile. That's right. That insurance that you call, that protection racket money, 92% of that is all profit. It all goes for the overhead and those multi-million dollar bonuses that you hear about on AIG that everybody got so upset about. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what, nobody's really upset about it because they keep paying it. You can get upset all you want. Just keep paying it every day, every month, every year. You know, you're paying a dollar or two a day or three, whatever they can get out of you every day. For what? So that some men can get rich and that 8% or less goes to actual compensation to repair damages and 92%? I mean, this is outrageous. And people just go along because of fear. They do not protest. And the only adequate protest is to stop paying it. And of course, I know that there's a lot of people out there that are not paying it. And especially in these times, because a lot of people, especially city dwellers, can't afford to pay it because their premiums are so high. So I think it's they've numbered it in excess of 45% of people that live in the city have no automobile insurance. Well, what about the rest of us out here? You know, what about the rest of us? Why is anybody paying this extortion? You know, protection rackets are supposed to be against the law. But because we have legislators who got paid off, got money for their campaigns or however the influence was made by the insurance companies, now it's mandated that you have to pay protection fees, which is limited liability, which is against God's law. God's law calls for, compensation, direct liability, not limited liability. And that's what one of the lamb-like principles that was, enforced in this country to begin with through the courts was direct liability. You damage, you pay the damage, you compensate. Well, we're going way too far here from our study. Let's jump back in. Israel. Now, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the children of Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they came up like grasshoppers, and they took all their sustenance away. And in chapter 6 and verse 6 of Judges, it says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah." They cried unto the Lord. Now, in the land where I live today, we're so impoverished. We're having such a financial crisis. Crisis, crisis, crisis. Hear it every day. In these bad financial times. Now look around, you know, it seems like a fairly rich land to me. I mean, the supermarkets are full of food. These people have no clue what crisis is. But it's a manufactured crisis to further control the people. And I'm sure it's somewhat real for some, but all the crisis does is make them run to their God and say, oh, great God, Uncle Sam, Obama, whatever you want to call him, oh, great mouth of the beast, Obama, pay my mortgage, you know, give me food stamps, give me a welfare check so I can, you know, pay my rent. So they go to their God. You know what? Israel didn't have that kind of government. That kind of government system was against the law in the time that we're reading about here in Judges. So they couldn't do that. It says Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they only had one place to turn. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah. They cried, as it says here in the Authorized King James Version, they cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. You know what, Heavenly Father, I pray that these people have nowhere to turn. That means the government is going to have to fail. The government, and you know what, I believe the government is well on the road to failing. I mean, look at the trillions of dollars they're collecting. And speaking of it being, you know, the 1040 Inquisition Day, where everyone's got to get in their 1040 Inquisition forms in to report all of their economic activity to their Mesta, you have to realize that the Mesta doesn't need your money. I mean, look at, they just created, you know, $1 trillion a couple times over in the past year. And they gave it to all their friends in the insurance industry who are making more than a 90% profit on money that they're collecting from every single one of you. Does this make any sense at all? Is this too hard to see? I mean, it's as easy as 2 + 2 = 4, as far as I'm concerned. And yet the economy is tightening up. But where's all these trillions of dollars? It's not out here where the people are at. The economy is constricting again. Huh. What's going on here? They don't need your money. And besides, most of you are filing to get money back. Where are they going to get the money from? Are they going to get it from the trillions of dollars that they just created? Huh. And if they don't have any money, how can they give you money back? Well, they just move some digits to your account on an ever-changing monetary system of unjust weight and balance, an abomination to our Heavenly Father, because he said a just weight and a balance is mine. I can't help it because it's just here, you know. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They didn't have abomination to cry to. They didn't have Uncle Sam. They couldn't go down. There was no welfare office. They had to rely on themselves and their families. And if that failed, all they could do was cry unto their God. So I'm praying, let it fail. They're destroying it right now. They will continue to destroy it as long as the people cry unto the government. Oh, please, please. Because the government is, guess what they're going to have to do? The government is going to have to enslave you into forced labor because they're going to run out of funny, illusory money, or the wealth and the labor that they're robbing from the other nations like China and other nations where people work for pennies an hour. So that they can, they're borrowing money from these other nations. They're robbing the labor from these other nations to give you welfare, to create programs, to throw money into the economy. And of course, they're all corrupt. They're not following the Lord our God. They're not loving their neighbors themselves. They don't care about defrauding their neighbor or stealing. So they steal most of the money anyway before it ever gets to the people. So the day is coming where the people in the land where I live, just like Israel, in the day that we're reading about here in Judges, the government's going to fail. It's not going to have anything left because the other nations are going to become wise. And they are becoming wise as the nation, as America becomes more impoverished. Uncle Sam and the government and the welfare office are all going to close down someday. It can't work. It just can't go on forever, can it? But people believe it can. They don't believe that starvation can come here. They don't believe that those things that happened in Africa and Sudan and the other nations can come here. Oh, it can't come near us. But if it can happen anywhere else, you better believe it can happen here. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you when, but I can see it. I can read the signs of the time. It will come, and it's on its way. You better trust in Yahuwah. You better call on him now, or I don't think you're going to like the outcome. You better start listening to him now. You better start learning to lean on him rather than the hand and the arm of flesh, rather than looking to government as your God, as your provider. You need to look to him, but you need to be obedient to him too, or you can't enter his kingdom. If you don't want to be obedient to him, there's no place for you in the kingdom of heaven. There's all these people, oh, God won't let me go to hell. I'm better than that other guy. You wouldn't like heaven. You will choose hell. As a matter of fact, you're choosing it right now because you hate God's law. Oh, but you would never say, you go to church every Sunday and you say, oh, but I love God so much. Yes, I love God, but I'm free to worship Ashtaroth, and I'm free to follow after Mammon. I'm free to look at these other gods, these idols for these fictitious entities for benefits to take care of me. Because, of course, we can't trust God for that. We can't put that in his hands. We can't live by his law. We can't set up his kingdom government here on earth. We can't follow his structure for our family governments. We can't do all that. No. But I want to go to heaven when I die. There's a little contradiction there, isn't there? There certainly is. So anyway, we have here reported in Judges, Israel was greatly impoverished. So remember that when your impoverishment comes and you go and you cry to your great gods of men and they have nothing for you. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am Yahuwah your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. They feared other gods, but you have not obeyed my voice. Listen to what he says. He says, I said unto you, I, Yahuwah, I, the Lord, am your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. The gods of the Amorites were men in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which is in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahuwah appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if Yahuwah be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now has Yahuwah hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And Yahuwah said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set before thee, he said. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. And Gideon went in, and he made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of Yahuwah, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of Yahuwah face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahuwah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Wow. So his father had an altar to Baal and in a grove. And he said, Cut down the grove that is by it, and built an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as Yahuwah had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Now, you know, if something like this was to happen today, well, perhaps they would go down and during the night, and they would cut down one of these altars to these pagan gods out here, and they would burn it. And you see what was going on here. I mean, right in the land of Israel, they raised up altars to these false gods. And these are the children of Israel. This is Gideon's own father. So the men come out early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. They said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked and said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Yes, there he was. And they were going to get him on vandalism and destruction of somebody else's property, and probably terrorism, and they hate crime, you know? That's bringing it up into a little more contemporary vernacular there for you, to give you an idea of what's going on here. And that's what they would charge him with today. And of course, now they just heap charges upon charges, so that they're just hoping they can get as many to stick as they can. That's how they operate today. Of course, for the prosecutors today, bearing false witness against their neighbor is not a commandment to them. As a matter of fact, it's a way of life. It's a commandment that they do bear false witness against their neighbor. Thou shalt bear false witness against your neighbor. That's the commandment to all prosecutors today. Thou shalt convict him as many crimes as possible, whether he's committed them or not. That's the commandment they follow today. That's the altar of Baal. Come on, let's be real here. The altar of Baal is all over the place today. We just don't recognize it. They do serve and worship the dragon. So, anyway, they want to put Gideon to death. And Joash said unto all that good stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. So Joash stands up and says, hey, let Baal plead for himself, if he is a god. Interesting. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Now, what's going on here? You know, perhaps, see, Israel 7 years under the hands of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. What did they do? Did they come in and build these altars and require that people pay their tribute at them in the land? And perhaps they would hire people in the land. Got a job for you. It pays good. You get to keep a portion of everything you collect. And they would collect there at the altars. You know, they put them under tribute. Is that how it worked? Trying to get an idea here of how this works. And we can see that's how it works today. Because we have those that work for the gods of this world all over the place. They have their policy enforcers. The policy enforcers come out and they're looking for people that aren't worshiping Baal, paying their tribute to the false gods. And they take them to their altars. And their high priest stands up in his black robe and finds them and threatens them with prison and makes them sign documents by force, which if they don't sign, no, they will get in jail, thrown in jail for contempt. And we talked about that forced signature thing, didn't we? Well, here we go, the end of this hour. The hours go by fast here on Cross the Border. We will be back, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for the news.